Hey there, and welcome to the Creative Solutions Podcast. I'm your host, Isolde Trachtenberg. Thank you so much for being here. This is April 30th, and the reason I'm saying the date is because today is the last day of the month-long communication challenge that I have been facilitating in my TikTok for the podcast, as well as my Instagram and various other places. And so throughout this whole month, if you've been following along, I've been talking a lot about the different ways we can communicate and the skills that we might need to build in order to communicate better. And you know, I'm always about telling your story better. And there are lots of different ways to do that. You can write it, you can speak it, you can video record it. But ultimately, if you want to tell your story better, it's about your voice. Now, that can be your physical voice, or it can be your energetic voice. What story do you want to be telling? I was just in a meeting a little bit earlier today, and a man named Florian, shout out to you, Florian, asked me what I mean by improving your voice. And if you don't like the sound of your voice, what do you do? And is it just a physical thing, or is it an emotional and psychological thing? And I said, well, actually, it's all. In order for us to be able to improve our voices, we need to look at the physical facets of our voice, how we're forming our voice, how we're forming our vowels, and how we're using our body. One of the things that I talk about a lot is that your body language, what you're doing with your body energetically, what you're doing with your body physically, plays a huge role in how what you're saying comes across. So that's part of it. A lot of it, of course, is your mental challenges to getting your story out there, to getting your words out there. What are some of those mental challenges? Well, you might be hesitant to speak up. You might not want to, you might not want to say the words because you might be afraid you'll be judged. You might be shy. You might, again, dislike the sound of your voice to such an extent that you're not willing to speak up. Even if you have an amazing idea, you might be like, oh, no, I don't want to. What if something goes wrong? What if somebody judges me? What if? So there are lots of different things that you might be concerned about before you ever open your mouth. And there are lots of things that you can do to open your mouth. But the most important thing, as far as communication goes, is that communication is a multi-body process. You can scream into the void. You can go to the edge of the Grand Canyon in the USA and you can go, wah! And that's great. And, you know, if a tree falls in the forest, it doesn't make a sound if there's no one around to hear it. Well, kind of the same thing. If you are screaming into the void, if you're in the middle of the woods or if you're at the edge of the Grand Canyon, that's healthy. If you need to do that, or if you want to do that, if you want to tell your story to the trees and the rocks and the ocean, I say go for it. If you're trying to communicate something to someone, you're going to need that someone. And the most important thing that I can say as far as that goes is what you want to say and need to say is very important for sure because it's your story. And if what you want to do is communicate it so that the other person will understand it and take it in, is you're going to need to tell that story in such a way that it resonates for the person or people you're speaking with. In other words, it's not as much about what you need to say in that case. It becomes more about how they need to hear it. What do they need to be able to take what you've said in and to be able to really process it and really let it resonate with them and really have it become part of their experience? And that's a big deal because a lot of times we're going, I've been beating my head against the wall. I've said this so many times. And this person just doesn't get it. Well, okay, well, what does that mean? If you're saying something and they don't get it, is it them or is it you? Because they're just going about their lives. They're living their lives. They're doing their things. So we might be in a situation where we're going, oh, yeah, no matter what I say, you're not going to get it. And I'm going to say, well, is it that? Or is it no matter how I say it, you're not going to get it? I'm going to give you an example that I've talked about before on the show. So if you're a longtime listener, you'll remember it. Back in our old place, my husband and I needed a new dishwasher. And I'm just saying it that way because I kept saying, Rich, we need a new dishwasher. We need a new dishwasher. We need a new dishwasher. And he kept saying, no, this dishwasher is fine. It's doing a fine job. And I kept seeing the dishes coming out dirty and thinking it's not doing a fine job. But me saying we need a new dishwasher was not connecting with Rich. He was not getting it. He was not getting it. And so I had to change what I was saying to make sure that it would resonate with him. And here's what I did. Instead of saying we need a new dishwasher and tweaking him on the, oh, it's going to cost a lot of money thing, I said, honey, do you want to eat out of dirty dishes? And he went, no. And I went, well, what do you think we should do about that? And he went, okay, I guess we probably need to get a new dishwasher. Ha ha ha, right? That's the thing. We don't think of it in those terms, but it's so important to remember that. When you're speaking with someone and you're trying to get them to understand what you're talking about, it's not so much about we need a new dishwasher. It's about connecting with their needs. It's about connecting with what they are able and perhaps willing to hear right now and to understand right now. Because just because you're saying it and you passionately believe in it doesn't mean a darn thing if they're not in a place to hear it. How do you get them in a place to hear it? You could wait until they are in that place, until they go, ugh, the dishes are disgusting coming out of the dishwasher. Or you can go, hey, let me move this conversation over a little bit and go, honey, do you want to eat out of dirty dishes? And then once he went, no, then I knew we could have a dialogue about it. So I want you to remember that and think about it. When you have a story to tell, when you have things to say to someone, instead of screaming into the void, which again, I totally get, there are times you need to do that. When you have something you need to say, I want you to remember saying it becomes incredibly important from the perspective of how does the person need to hear it? There are lots of techniques I could go into. There are lots of, oh, you need to use your body language this way. You need to form your words that way. You need to perhaps write out the things that you need to say so that you remember all the points. You need to do all of this beginning, middle, end stuff when it comes to storytelling. You need to ratchet up all of the stakes. All of that stuff becomes important in storytelling. But if that person is not in a place to hear it or read it or see it, then you've done a lot of work, but for what? So that's something for you to remember. And today was the day the Tony Award nominations came out, and it actually got me thinking about this whole idea of resonance. Does it resonate with the person? There are certain shows that obviously resonated with the people who vote for the nominations for the Tonys that I saw and went, ugh, right? This was not, this show, I'm not going to name any names, didn't work for me. It did not work for me. It didn't. And other shows that I just loved that resonated with me deeply didn't get any nominations whatsoever. And so you have to wonder, how does that work? Well, again, there's a moment in the Rocky Horror Picture Show when Janet says about Rocky, the man that Dr. Frankenfurter has just created. She says, well, I don't like my men with too many muscles. And Frank looks at her and he says, I didn't make him for you. And I remember even when I was a kid and I saw it for the first time, I went, oh, yeah, she wasn't the intended audience. So knowing the intended audience becomes incredibly important. I wasn't the intended audience for the show I didn't like, maybe, and maybe they didn't care who the intended audience is. They wanted to make the show. I think I could have liked the show if they had focused things a little differently. I didn't. Other shows I loved that got no Tony love, and I'm a little bummed about that, but again, they didn't make those shows for the people who were voting to see who the nominations were going to be. They made the show that they wanted to make. And on some level, being creative in that way, totally and absolutely the right thing to do. Because these people, are they making them to get Tony nominations? I don't know. I imagine at some point you have to make the show you have to make. You have to tell the story you want to tell. So at some point, you have to be very, very honest with yourself about who you are and what you need to say, whether it's communicating to a single person or whether or not it's putting on a Broadway show. But on some level, depending on the kind of success you want, you're going to have to think about your audience. And are they in a place to get what you're saying? Are they in a place to understand it? Are they in a place to fall in love with it? Does it resonate with them? And if it does, awesome. And if it doesn't, then you may need to go back to the drawing board. Again, if you're communicating one-on-one and the person cannot understand that what you're saying is you need a new dishwasher and that there are reasons to get a new dishwasher, then you're going to have to change your approach. You're going to have to say it in a way that they can hear it. The same thing will happen if you're communicating with a team of 7 or 10 or 20. And the same thing will happen if you're communicating with a group of 500. You need to do your homework. You need to know who the people are that you're going to be speaking with and how they need to hear whatever it is you're saying. Tony nominations notwithstanding, the people who are making these incredible shows are making something that is greater than the sum of its parts. And what they realize on some level is that a Tony Award-winning show will get a boost in sales. More people will hear about the show, more people will want to come see the show, in part because it's a Tony winner. Whether it wins for Best Actress or Best Musical or Best Book or whatever, once it's a Tony winner, its reputation elevates. So on some level, there's that. On another level, once you're a Tony Award-winning musical, your prices per ticket will rise. So it's a business. And no matter what we do, it's a business, right? It's not a community theater, which is its own sort of business. It's a very specific kind of business that the rewards for winning Tony Awards are many and varied. And so we need to look at it from that perspective. Like, oh, okay, this is one of those things. This is one of those times where if you're nominated, that gives you a boost in reputation. And if you win, it gives you an even bigger boost in reputation. That means you need to be speaking to the people who are going to be voting on some level. On another level, you do owe yourself the opportunity to write the best that you can and create the best that you can and act the best that you can. And it will give you all sorts of opportunities to excel and to bring something to the culture that hasn't existed before, or maybe not in that form, because some of the shows that are nominated for Tonys are revivals. And for example, Cabaret, which I will be seeing later in May, and it's a very different take, apparently. So again, somebody has taken it and made it their own. And that's really important in how we look at whatever it is we're trying to communicate. Make it your own and then say it in such a way that it is designed to help the person or people you're saying it to hear it, take it in, and understand it. And more importantly, perhaps, resonate with what you've just said. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode of the Creative Solutions Podcast. I've done something a little differently today. I recorded a video of it as well as an audio, and we'll see how that goes. Probably posting it on YouTube. Don't know where else it's going to go, but I'm very excited that I did that. And it's a new direction. We'll see how it goes. Until next time, I want to tell you that, first of all, the episode is brought to you by my book, Speak From Within, How to Engage, Inspire, and Motivate Any Audience. It's also brought to you by my Confidence Builder. You can get that right in the show notes. And it's brought to you by my favorite productivity app, Brain FM. Until next time, this is Isolde Trachtenberg for the Creative Solutions Podcast, reminding you to be bold, be creative, and most of all, be kind.